The Syrian city of Raqqa has been under the rule of the so-called Islamic State, or ISIS, for more than a year. The militants there run it with a mix of municipal services and public brutality. That's the picture people from Raqqa painted when they spoke with NPR's Deborah Amos across the Syrian border in Turkey.
Last May, ISIS displayed its violent side on the first day of rule in Raqqa, a provincial capital in Syria's farm belt. In the central square, prisoners, men bound and blindfolded, were publicly executed with shots to the head. But over the past year, the Islamic State has shown a pragmatic side, building a modern government in Raqqa, according to residents there, that provides services, controls traffic, and collects taxes. What's it like to live in the Islamic State? I asked Syrians who recently crossed into Turkey, one an engineer. He was too afraid to give his name. He called the group by the Arabic name Daesh.
All people are afraid now from Daesh. It's very difficult to finish Daesh in Syria because I see him. I live with him. I see how they think.
How they think, he says. They aim to build a capital with an efficient government that controls every aspect of life. They appointed an oil minister, an Egyptian engineer. A Tunisian PhD runs the phone company. Some Syrians, bureaucrats in the Assad regime, stayed on and now are paid by the Islamic State. Social rules are severe. No alcohol, no smoking. There's gender segregation. A female dentist was recently killed for treating male patients. A woman must cover her face in public, says the engineer.
For women, the big problem, the woman cannot go outside of the home.
So you have to be completely covered?
Completely, completely.
Abu Anas, a construction worker, also afraid to give his full name, came to Turkey for heart surgery. It's a strange body in our country, and we want to force it out, he says. But he acknowledges that many in Raqqa have come to terms with the militants, exhausted by a chaotic war, now too poor to leave. The Islamic State offers stability, but at a price, says the engineer. Militants focus on children, investing in the future, with festivals and films highly produced that showcase beheadings and death to recruit a new generation.
I see some children and watch this, and it's happy.
So they show the children the heads and the violence, and they want the kids actually to learn this.
Yes, I see him. Some children fight with Daesh.
Daesh, the Arabic for ISIS, drove Werda Ali out of Raqqa. She was an activist there, and she landed on a wanted list for trying to mount campaigns against the beheadings, which are often displayed for the public in the town square.
Some of the people went over and filmed it by their mobiles, and other people starting to bring their kids to let them see that.
She describes with horror a mother and her children nearby.
Three children sitting on the ground near the heads, and she was feeding them, like having sandwiches and eating there. So suddenly, I don't know, they started to get used to it.
And that's the fear for the engineer. ISIS is molding young people and building a state that's attracting new recruits, even educated professionals. He says Syrians are trapped between the violent government of Bashar al-Assad and the brutal rule of these militants.
My country damaged. My people dead. Dead by Daesh and al-Assad. Why? Why we wait? Obama, why we wait?
It will take more than an air campaign to root out ISIS, he says, and he doubts the American president has a better solution. Deborah Amos, NPR News, on Turkey's southern border.